Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
The focus of our study today is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 and 11, 8 through 11. This is all in conjunction with our study in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul is ministering about fellowship. Fellowship is the word that is translated participation in Scripture. It is the Greek word koinonia, which means to have things in common. And just a study of the word itself and how it's used in the New Testament just opens up a whole new area of concept and understanding for us. The fact that we as believers, we have all things in common. Whatever's yours is mine, whatever's mine is yours. Because it all belongs to the Lord. And He, by His Spirit, moves in us and through us to participate together in that which is common amongst us. So far, we have seen that what we have in common is the Word of God. God's Spirit causes us to participate together in His Word. God's Spirit causes us to participate together, to pray for one another and to pray for others. But in chapter 4 of Philippians, Paul presents the fact that we also participate together in the physical things of life with our material possessions and with our finances. It's all part of what is called fellowship, translated participation. Excellent word, excellent translation, participation. We saw from Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, that Paul basically is saying, I'm relaying this material to you, your participation with the Lord and the things of giving and receiving for your account in heaven. Not because of me, Paul says, or because of my need, for I've learned that in all things to be content, whether I am lacking or whether I have more in abundance of what I need, I've learned to be content in the Lord, so having my needs met is not part of my contentment. That's what Paul is saying. But I'm saying these things for your sake. And we saw from 1 Corinthians 9 and now 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul has laid out the philosophy of giving and the preparation for giving in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. He talked to them about their attitude. In verses 1 and 2, that from a year ago, their attitude was readiness. We are ready and willing to participate with the saints, giving to the saints in Jerusalem. In verse 2, he says, but I know this attitude of your readiness, and that it is evidence in chapter 8, verse 11, he made the remark that this readiness seems to be fading. So you said a year ago that you were ready, able, and willing, and so for the last year you should have been saving up your contributions on a weekly basis so that when we come, the finances will be there. Where he says, the Macedonians are going to be with me when I come, and so to make sure that my boasting of you, just on the basis of readiness, that my boasting of you to the Macedonians won't be in vain. And I don't want to be ashamed when I get there and you say, yeah, we were going to do it. But, you know, things happen over a year's time. We forget and things come up and, you know. So Paul says, I want you to give, verse 5. when he talks about two attitudes of motivation. I want you to give out of generosity, not out of covetousness or greediness. In other words, the only reason why you would hold back over the year and not contribute to the poor saints in Jerusalem is because of your own greediness. But rather, it should be out of generosity. How can we find ways to give to the saints in Jerusalem? So we spent quite some time in verses 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 of the creed of giving. Everything for the believer, especially the Gentile, is based around 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. So he uses the example of the farmer. The one sowing sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one sowing upon the basis of blessings will also reap upon the basis of blessings. Each one according as he is choosing in his own heart, not from out of grief or from out of pressure, for God loves a cheerful, literally hilarious giver. One that just doesn't just give, but just loves to give. Or as Acts chapter 20, verse 25 says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Quite opposite of what our society has bred into us. So we've seen that this is a basic principle. Now, if someone comes to me and says, well, I take opposition to what you're saying. Well, see, we only have one or two sides to go. It's not out of pressure. It's not out of grief. If you, out of greediness or covetousness, want to hold on to your extra, go ahead. Because you will reap sparingly. But God says, if you want to realize that who you are and what you have is supposed to be in for service to Christ, not for yourself, and you seek Him as to what He would have you to do with that which He has given you to serve Him with, then for those, it's interesting that things increase. Because the more we give, the more He increases. Not for our own consumption, as we will see. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 and 9, the capability in giving. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you in order that everything, always having all sufficiency, you may abound for every good work. The word good is the word agathos. God's able by His grace to cause His grace to provide for us spiritually and materially. That's no problem. God is the source. He is the one who gives. He is the one who pours out. As we saw in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, that as you come and you pull up the fold in your garment to get food, and God says, pressed down and shaken together and piled up and measured, shall it be measured unto you who measure out to others. So the blessings are bountiful. But the emphasis is on blessings. The health and wealth movement, which is more in correspondence to our society than the Bible itself, says that if you give to God, God will give back to you individually for your consumption. Some say 10 times or 100 times what you give to Him. As if to say giving money in church is the same as giving to God. To some churches, giving money to the church is giving it to the people, not to God. But the health and wealth doctrine says, if you give $100 to the church, God is going to bless you with $1,000. And so greediness says, well, that's a better investment than stocks, you know. But the appeal is, you want money for yourself? Then you got to give God some so that He'll bless you with more money back. For what? For yourself, to consume it upon yourself. God is perfectly capable with all of His grace to cause his people to give upon the basis of blessing. The word blessing is where we get our word eulogy from, and it literally means to speak well of God. The reason God provides for us is so that we turn to him and speak well of him. We have a custom in our family that no matter where we are at every meal, we always stop to thank the Lord. Not because it's customary for Christians to do, but it's good to stop and acknowledge this has come from him and we need to stop and thank him for it. All that he does, whether it's discipline or blessing, is to cause us to turn to him and communicate. He loves for his people to speak well of him. He loves for his people to give in based on the grace that God has given them, to give to others so that others are turned to the Lord and they give God thanks. Or they thank the Lord for God's people who sacrificially give and to help with no motive in mind. We're not trying to get you to come to our church. We just want you to know the Lord cares. He provides. And God's Spirit causes that to stick in their minds, and even though they might move on, they find themselves in even more difficulties later, they remember the Lord provides. We're not surrendered to him. That's our problem. He provides for his people. Verse 9 says, according as it has been written from Psalm 112, verse 9, he scattered, he gave to the poor, his righteousness is remaining forever. Think giving to the poor. Notice what it says. What did he give to the poor? It's called righteousness. It's not called money. It's what is right in the sight of God, and it points to God's righteousness. It is a righteous act, not a physical, financial, or material act. God makes sufficient for the work that he has. If we're up to it, if we realize it, that everything that I am and everything that I have is provided by God's grace for his work, his good work, his agathos work. It's not for my physical or material advancement. It's not for me to consume. Look what it says about the capacity of giving in verses 10 and 11. Now the one supplying seed to the one sowing and bread for food, may he supply and multiply your seed sown. Or it can read sown seed. It describes the kind of seed, the seed that has been sown. May he supply and multiply your seed sown and increase the production of your righteousness. Notice that it's the seed sown that's increased. If I sow seed, what am I promised? More seed. Not money, not material wealth for my consumption, but more seed to plant more and allow that to produce more seed and that more seed. So it's the increase of the production of seed that he promises in this text. In everything by you, being enriched for all generosity, which is working out thanksgiving to God through us. What is this for? It's for people to thank God. For people to give thanks to God. And the increased seed is for more seed to be sown in people's lives. It's interesting in Scripture, all through Scripture, that seed is the symbol of and represents the Word of God. When we draw people toward God, his Word, the Word of God himself, and all of his words giving response to his word and to his person. Anytime a person is turned toward the Lord in any way, shape, or form, that's a blessing. And God promises blessings in return. Now, Paul warns in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. Vain arguments, having been corrupted the minds of men and having been destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. Material gain is not godliness. It's the opposite. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having sustenance and clothing, with this we shall be content. But the ones desiring to be rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in ruin and destruction. Why? For the love of money, not money itself, the love of money is the root of all evils, plural, which while some aspired after, they were seduced from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. As we related last week from James chapter 2, James says that to the congregations who treat the poor as if they're nobodies, push them off to the corner, give them the worst seats in the house, our natural inclination is to favor the rich because they're the ones that can help us reach our goals. So we favor the rich. But the poor we despise because what good are they going to be? And James says, do you not know that God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? You see, increased physical or financial or material things is the opposite of faith. The more material things we have, the less we trust the Lord. So the Bible presents the fact is best just to be poor. Materially, financially poor. So that we can totally trust the Lord. Which is true wealth, as the Bible presents it. So that's interesting as we've been studying through Isaiah. As Judah as a country and as Hezekiah as a king, as they tried to make alliances with Egypt and Babylon in order to fight against the Assyrians, is that God brought judgment because he says, you're going by numbers. You don't see that you're a little tiny group of people, but you have me as your God, Yahweh of hosts. Remember what hosts meant in Scripture? It means armies. God and his army, that's what I'm under. But to reach out for more materialism, to reach out to the help of man, God says that you have basically left faith, trust in what the Lord can do. And we find ourselves as believers, as the Scripture has taught us from beginning to end, that God will place us in circumstances where human strength and human numbers will not be, just so God can be glorified. And reminded of Gideon, God says, I'm going to use you to lead the battle against the Philistines. So call all the able-bodied men. And so 32,000 men showed up for this great big army. And so Gideon's feeling a little bit better now about his chances, and God says, too many people. And over a period of elimination, the 32,000 people were whittled down to 300. Now, as a military leader, I'd feel a little nervous since I'm faced against thousands of Philistines. But God says, I've whittled it down to 300 men so that when you win the victory, all the glory will be of God and man cannot take the credit for it. So you see, God puts us in situations where it's just maybe one of us, two of us, a small group of us, against a whole lot of people, or a circumstance that seemingly is insurmountable against us. So that when God moves, he gets the glory. How did you do that? How could you do that? You don't have any money, you don't have any political clout, and yet things just worked out for you. We can tell him. It's the Lord and his faithfulness. The less I have in material possessions, the less I have in finances, the more I must trust the Lord. That's just the way the sin nature works and our relationship with Christ. The more material things I have and the more money I have, the less I trust the Lord and the more I have available for the things that I want to do. After all, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. What is the word for love? Phileo. Friendship. When we make money our friend. Because with money, that's like the archway that just opens up the whole world to us. We can get better things. We can go places. We can, get for ourselves. And it's the root of all evils. Therefore, the person that doesn't have the money to do all that is better off, as they are not tempted by their sin nature to spend it on themselves and, again, bring judgment, because God will cause us to reap sparingly if we're not in submission to him. So you see, being a Christian is not about showing up for church meetings. It's participating with the Lord in his word. It's participating in prayer and in fellowship and identification together in the sufferings that believers suffer. It's participation together in the material things that God blesses us with, the things that we all have in common. So it's not attendance, it's participation with the things of the Lord. Actively serving him, seeking him, what he would have us to do, and how he would have us to do it. But God is the one who supplies. And he increases the seed that has been sown so that that seed, after it bears fruit, can bear more seed. Not more things for us to consume. There is no promise of God that if we give to him, he will give us back 10 or 100-fold of what we give. So we see the provision for giving strictly by God's grace that he provides. Now, the opposite of God's grace is me in the human going out and working for it, striving and pushing for more than what God provides. See, it's God's grace that supplies. And it'll be for righteousness, for the right apportionment of what we use it for. So the blessing is, and the pronouncement is, in the optative mood, may the one, he who supplies, may he multiply your seed sown and increase the production of your righteousness, not of your wealth or materialism. As each birthday comes around, at this stage, I'm more and more reminded is, I only have one time that I go through. I only have one life. You look back on your life and you say, what have I done with 70 years of my life? How much of God's righteousness, how much of his blessing has been bestowed upon me and through me to others? When I leave, that will be to my account. What righteousness has been worked through you? What has your life done in response to God's Spirit, providing for you by His grace to bless others and to bring others at least toward the direction of Christ, giving Him thought and giving Him thanks and giving Him praise? That's what it's all about. The battle is between our culture, which has inbred in us a philosophy and a lust and a desire to have more. That's what covetousness is, to have more. I have a desire to have more. That's covetousness. That's greediness. When in reality, Christ has saved us, purchased us with His blood, that He might bestow blessings upon us, that we might thank Him for it and share those blessings with others, that others might thank Him as well and turn to Him as well. That is a productive life. That is a fruitful life. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we even come to You now in prayer, not because of tradition, but even because of the song that we sing every Sunday. Praise God from whom all blessings come. May those in heaven and those on the earth give You praise because You have blessed us so much. If we would stop striving to advance in the physical realm, we'd be able to stop and realize how blessed we are in the Spirit. As Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that with your clothing and with your sustenance, be content. That's godliness, great contentment. We have to admit that we're not content until we have enough to get what we want or to get to where we want to go. But Lord, cause us to realize that the true wealth and the true riches in life are in our spirit with Christ. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. As we experience that cheerful, joyful satisfaction of seeing others turn to Christ, we pray by Your Spirit You would change our minds and change our hearts and change our perspective and change our attitudes about the seemingly free materialism that's placed before us, a freedom to lust, a freedom to strive for that which we want in life. By Your Spirit, we pray that You'd lead us to want You, to serve You, and to experience the joy I've seen others receive from Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.